Hey there, and welcome to the Fanboy Smackdown podcast. This is Tony. You'll notice this week that we, again, do not have a co-host. That should be remedied next week, but this week is, again, another different kind of episode for us. I spent the weekend at Archon, the sci-fi, fantasy, gaming, general fandom convention in the St. Louis area. And spent a great deal of time on panels. I spent 5 hours on podcasting panels alone. I was only scheduled to be on two, but it turned out that the guys who were doing the three main panels on podcasting, the guys over at Fear the Boot, they are a gaming podcast. So if you're into tabletop gaming, definitely check these guys out. They're at feartheboot.com. I'm posting as a member of their forums now, and I've been listening to them since before Archon. Those guys and Ryu Cope, the Bad Buddha of Bad Buddhist Radio, the five of us were on panels together. And by five of us, it was myself, Ryu, Dan, Chad, and Adam, the last three being Fear the Boot. And we were all on podcasting panels together. The first one we were on together, we had such a great chemistry, had a good time doing it, that the Fear the Boot guys invited Ryu and I to join them for the rest of the podcasting panel. So we got to know those guys pretty well in the 5 hours that we spent chatting about podcasting and all the various aspects of it. If you want to listen to those panels and some of the other stuff that the Fear the Boot guys did, you can check that out over at archonstl.libsyn.com. And I will go ahead and post some show notes with some of these, with all of these, the links to the various sites and podcasts that I'm going to be mentioning throughout. These guys were great. They put on a great show, and damn that Dan for his voice. He's got a really great voice for radio, for podcasting, and just can't compete with the likes of that. But we had a great time, and I also was on a few other panels, one of which I'm going to be playing for you shortly. We did a panel on Serenity. We ended up talking about Firefly, of course, and British television. We were all over the place, kind of like one of our regular podcasts here. But it was myself and a couple of other brown coats. One of the other ones of whom was dressed as Captain Malcolm Reynolds, and there should be a photo of him on the site. His name is Matt, and he was one of the other panelists. One of the other panelists was a woman by the name of Sarah Harvey. She is an author, and I will include a link to her website in the show notes as well. I picked up a copy of her book over the weekend. Haven't had a chance to look through it yet, but after experiencing ConCrud for the first time, I haven't had a chance to do much. And I'm just now on Wednesday night getting this recorded for putting this out. I've had this bit of audio since last Thursday. Without too much further ado, I do want to go ahead and get into playing this. It runs about 50 minutes long, so we've got a good long show. You'll have to forgive the audio quality. I did use my MP3 recorder and I put it at the front of the panel. Some of the questions from the audience get pretty tough to hear, but I'm going to try to normalize the sound a little bit and hopefully boost up the levels of the audience and lower the levels of the panelists. Otherwise, you'll be turning up the volume to hear the questions, and you'll get your ears blasted off when we answer them. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and go right into the panel.
Speak master here now.
This is the panel for Firefly Serenity, just about celebrating their one-year anniversary.
Just had it.
Yeah, just had September 30th, right?
Yep, 30th.
They were shindigs, coast to coast.
All except in St. Louis.
Aww.
Yeah.
Is it the shindig?
Did anybody travel to any?
Okay. Introduce ourselves.
Who are we?
Who are we?
Everyone's looking at me. I'm Sarah Harvey. I'm an author and a brown coat. My book has nothing to do with Serenity, although I am friends with Keith R. A. DeCandido, who wrote the novelization of Serenity. So that's my literary link to it. I've been a fan of the show since I saw the first commercial in early summer of 2002, part of one of the original email campaigns and petitions and whining at Fox that got us absolutely nowhere, except a huge fan base of ravenously loyal fans that put a lot of Star Trek fans to shame. So, that's why.
I'm Deborah Militello. I'm a writer. My first book is just coming out. It's a young adult fantasy mystery, Thieves' Luck. I am a fan. I am a big fan. I am out to convert everybody I can possibly get. I loan them my Firefly DVDs and say, watch these, and then they go and buy them and make friends, you know, other people watch them. So I've managed to convert, at least a dozen people into fans and some Vernon people. And, you know, we can't stop the signal.
I'm Matt Ackerman, and I'm a nobody. They just happened to get the big M put next to his name on the panel, so.
So I'm
the moderator. I'm a moderator on the local email list, but aside from that, I think I'm just the biggest Firefly fan that the con organizers knew of. So.
And I'm Tony Mast. I am a podcaster. I podcast. What's the name of the podcast? Fanboy Smackdown. It's a movie podcast, I'm also a big fan. I started watching the show from episode one and was confused at why the last show at the beginning. I did not have a previous history as a Joss fan, so I came into this as a virgin, as it were, and have just been amazed at the storytelling throughout and through the movie, and wanted to show up and talk about it.
Did you forget the name of your podcast?
Yeah, it happens sometimes. It happens sometimes. The problem is I'm not drinking, because normally when we podcast, there's bourbon involved, and so I don't have any. That's my problem.
Run podcast. That's the next panel.
I think that one's Saturday.
Dragon podcasting.
Saturday night.
We have some podcasting panels throughout the weekend, but I don't know that we have a drunken one yet. We'll have to work on scheduling that one.
It could be just a
serendipitous
drunk podcast.
That's normally how it is.
We're having a conversation. Let's start recording it. Okay. All right.
So did anybody here make it to any of the Serenity showings for charity earlier? So did you go to?
Actually, it was Houston, although I'm from Dallas. I was one of the guests down at ApolloCon, which just happened to fall on the sheer birthday. It was my birthday. I was standing in for Joss. He and I had the same birthday. They found, the little brown coat troop found out that I was a brown coat, and the next thing I know, I'm sort of posting all of their stuff at the convention, and just had an absolute good charity. It was also there was a sneak screening of Done the Impossible, which was outstanding. And the musical guest was Cedric of Bell & Barnes of On the Drift fame. And Cedric and I sing together occasionally. It was just, you know, the spirit is still there for us. And it was just a lot of fun.
Now, what I found interesting that just came out in the media a couple days ago was that Joss kind of went on this little rant about why everyone keeps thinking there's going to be sequels to Serenity, there's going to be another season, there's going to be another movie, because I've never said any of that. I don't know where people are getting this idea, which is kind of funny, because he has said that. At least the actors all say that he said that to them, that they're on supposed contract for two more possible movies, just one of those just-in-case contracts if they got it to go through. And why he would go through all the loops and hoops of fire to get all that nailed down, where I know he told Ron Glass and Alan Tudyk that, yes, in the second movie, should they get the funding for it, they do have parts in it, regardless of everything that went on in the first movie. But then all of a sudden, now he turns around and he's saying, I've never said there was going to be a second movie. guys getting that idea. So Josh gets kicked in the knee for that officially.
He likes to confuse people.
He does. Now, does anybody want to speak to that? That was posted on some message board.
He likes to blatantly lie.
There has been a history of him being misquoted. On a number of occasions, he's been misquoted or partially quoted.
Well, it was a full quote that he repeated several times with a sentence, so I don't know.
If he actually said
right,
it.
That's the thing. I was wondering if anyone else had heard that. I've read that. I know that he's been sitting on other novels. After the original Serenity novelization, he's been sitting on several other novel proposals for about 16 months now that he has actually done nothing about.
He's also taking over Marvel Comics, and he's going to be writing Red Legs after 2024.
Well, dang.
That was announced 2 weeks ago, I believe.
They announced it in the book that he was going to take over.
Yeah, it was. It hit the news. It hit the news online about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So he's going to be doing that and X-Men?
No.
After the
current run of Astonishing, my understanding is that they're done with that.
But he still has Wonder Woman and Connors.
The reason it's going is they're waiting until episode 24, from what I understand, is they aren't starting the project while he's finishing Wonder Woman. So the plan for him to finish Wonder Woman and then start Runaways with everything going on with Astonishing as well. That's assuming he's ending with Astonishing in the end, which I don't know. If they're ending Astonishing, are they ending Astonishing or are they just...
It's being put on permanent hiatus, from my understanding.
It's just there for him.
It's there for him when he wants to come back to it.
So in 6 months, he'll restart it like the standard Marvel Spider-Man.
There's so many more adjectives out there that they could be using, so...
We can find another adjective for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Or we'll give him a new name. Peter Carter worked for a while.
One of the things that I heard in our shooting panel, I do another convention every year.
This year?
It was like 2 months ago.
Dragon?
No.
That's where I saw.
3 months ago. It was something in Plano, a sci-fi convention, I believe. It was the signing of a three movie deal. Even if there's nothing. Even being whispered about number 2 and 3 is fairly standard nowadays.
Yeah, that's a standard deal.
Spider-Man was signed up for 7 movies just in case.
Yeah,
that's I've not heard that one, but
the first one they were of course. Granted, I heard it from Bruce Campbell, so who knows how much.
Well, okay, I have a question.
Bruce Campbell as many movies as they want.
Yeah, I know.
I have a question that may be sacrilege. All right. With Serenity, are you happy that would that make a fitting ending to the story?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. Yes, but I must be the addiction, so I want more.
Exactly.
Wanting more is one thing, but does it end the story?
It's a rich universe, and it'd be a shame not to.
Yeah.
Well,
even if they
try to redo Serenity, I would like to see. The Big Bird.
Sure.
And there's still the questions about Shepard Book. There's still questions about several characters.
Well, but are they questions that should be answered?
I don't know that he'll ever want to answer.
He's never going to answer Shepard Book. No way, no how.
Yes.
So from the standpoint of storytelling, and I'm a writer by trade, so I think in terms of beginning, middle, and end, if this were it, it's satisfying ending. We know that they're still flying.
Mm-hmm.
It was most of them. And the others, that gets into esoteric questions. From that standpoint, yeah. Would I like to see more? If it is the same quality and the same good storytelling and the same good acting and everything else that worked, yeah, I'd love to. But if it's going to be schlock,
right.
This is a good place to stop.
Like Dallas season 12.
It was all dream anyway.
Yeah. I would have to go on
step
a homicidal
away from the shower.
Yeah. I would have to go on a homicidal rampage if they did that. And it was like, oh, by the way, it was all a dream. Unless that means Wash is alive again, in which case, it can be a dream. Yeah, I was the only
crying in the movie theater because evidently I was the only one in the theater that did not know that was going to happen. And everybody laughed at me in my little Kaylee outfit, sobbing into the seat in front of me. I mean, I was just looking beat and bad. And everyone was like, oh, ho, ho, ho. But didn't you know you could go to the pre-screenings in Atlanta? And I went, no. I was in Nashville at the time. No, I did not go to Atlanta.
Well, I'm wondering, in every city where they did the pre-screenings, here in St. Louis they had one, and it was jam-packed, but the air conditioner broke down, and everybody stayed anyway.
Oh, yes.
Anyway.
I know the pre-screenings were very well-attended. I'm wondering if the fact that it was well-attended turned people off when the movie itself actually came out, the general public.
Well, I don't know. I know for our family, we would have seen it a gazillion more times, but we didn't like how it ended. So I couldn't go to see it again. I have the DVD. I've never even watched it. I've watched the extended clips, and that's all. I have not got the heart to go watch it again, which is just kind of sad. And I think, so, like, Joss lost, like, $50 on me. I'm not going to go see that again. I'll buy tickets and not go in the theater. But
well, I think killing one character fit the storyline, but the second killing, I thought that was a real one.
I would disagree. I would disagree because
this was the debate we had for 6 months after the movie came out.
I would disagree for a storytelling perspective because there's a moment, and it's right after the doctor gets shot, where I'm not familiar with Joss's style of killing characters. I'm not. So I'm sitting there. I mean, I'm going, holy shit, they're all dead.
Yeah.
They are all dead. This is going to end bad. This is going to be Shakespeare. Everybody's dead. The signal will get out, but everybody's going to die. That would be so cool. You know?
Move away from this guy.
Yes, yeah, I know. Remind me,
from storytelling, I mean, Shakespeare, he's done pretty well telling stories that way.
Well, yes, but they all deserve to die. Like Hamlet, they all had a hand in it. That's the body count. Whereas these guys were like, well, we're just flying along.
Yeah.
And then one day there were these reavers and they tried to eat our souls. And we had to tell everybody how the Alliance created them. And we all died. That's sort of like not, you know, the same as, well, I was screwing your mother and I killed your father. And oh, by the way, your sister went crazy, but that's all my fault. And I poisoned the dagger. I mean, you know, it's kind of a culpability thing there.
Is it ability, or is it that this is their finest moment?
That was
Wash. His story was done.
Both heroes in.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they did. Although I would love to see a little bit more of Book's heroic end, except for him laying there coughing up blood going, oh man, I feel so bad. Like, oh, let's go hide with them. Oh, let's go. Oh, you know all our friends? Yeah, they're all dead.
Yeah.
And it's all our fault. Which was almost, I guess, kind of a culpability thing that it's like, okay, we're going to go out of this door glory because we ended up killing everybody we know for this thing, which is something that doesn't really sell on you. So the movie is like, I don't know, I was coming home with, oh my God, all their friends and all various planets, they're all dead.
Mm-hmm.
All their allies, they're all dead. Of course, that's kind of nice in some cases because some of their allies.
Not nice. No.
What? They're all dead.
Anyway.
We never need to go back to
Badger's not dead. He'll come back.
Of course, Badger's not dead. Badger's not dead. Nishka's not dead.
Badger smelled it coming a mile away and got in the hole.
There's a disturbance in the force. I'm going to take my hat and leave.
I take my hat, I put it on the moon, and then I leave. The moon dies, I come back and get my hat.
Yes.
Yes, and see, this lends further credence to the possibility of seeing more some sort of continuation because. Yeah, Wash died, but he only died once, and this is Joss Whedon we're talking about.
At least twice.
That would have
been
my
time.
Well,
which part of my Rover epitaph?
Buffy,
save the world. A lot. Yeah. I know the person responsible for that. Anyway, I want to be responsible for that.
Well, you'll have to bring that tomorrow.
I will have to bring that tomorrow. Are you in that panel?
Yes, I am.
You'll have to remind me to bring up the epitaph. Yeah, the Buffy stuff I always like. Whereas the Firefly thing is a long, drawn-out thing.
Anyway, let's get back to the possibility of a sequel.
Well, that we pretty much exhausted it. There's going to be.
I think that's a rumor.
There's not.
But Joss has other
episodes. The movie, now we're talking sequel.
Well, it didn't really bomb, though.
No,
it did
they're
not
making
make
money
back
now.
All the money. But, I mean, you got to understand, today, still, right now, the DVD sales of the series are still in the top, at least the top 100, if not the top 50. Last Christmas, the Firefly DVD was number 3 in the world of Amazon DVD sales of box set stuff.
They've announced that they're in the black due to DVD sales.
Yeah.
And the main point I wanted to bring up with the possibility of a sequel is Joss is making Wonder Woman. If that turns into a big movie, his name is attached to that, and anything else his name gets attached to.
Because right now everybody knows Joss. Yeah.
Also, another thing to mention about sequels, traditionally, in recent market history, sequels have done better than the originals at the box office. Progressively, Spider-Man 2, 3, is, from all accounts, it should blow away the last two. Mm-hmm. X-Men, for how bad X3 was.
How many hours of film progressively. After, 9 hours of X-Men film? Not one single second of Gambit. The fuck?
No, there is one second.
John Cotton Van Damme.
Oh, no, his name on a computer screen did not count. I'm so sorry. 9 hours of film, no Gambit. I'm not seeing another X-Men movie. That's it. No more. Back to Lester.
But if he's in the next one.
Okay, if he's in the next one, yes. But if not, okay, fine. If there's Gambit, yes. If no, yes, then no more.
But the point is that sequels do escalate. And Warner's counting on it for Superman. Mm-hmm. They know it's going to happen for Batman Begins.
It's like Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Actually, I think it's shooting. I think they have a fake title for it right now. They had a fake title for Begins before they settled on the title. It was like Redemption or something like that.
Two basically has been Sean Penn possibly attached to play Joker.
No, Heath Ledger. Heath Ledger's
the Joker.
It is. That's confirmed. Heath Ledger is the Joker.
I can tell that. I can see that. Jack Nicholson always be better, but I can see Heath Ledger.
Yeah, Heath Ledger's confirmed as the Joker.
Then again, you know, now we've got Robert Downey Jr. coming to start Iron Man.
And that actually.
Everybody wants to be in a superhero movie.
Throw a goatee on him. He's got the drunken, addicted, tormented thing down. That's right. He got really good at it.
But with random people, random other things, I'm so pleased that every time I
see this is just like my podcast. Though we have a topic that sticks for about 5 minutes, and we do about a 50-minute show. So yeah,
it will get back there.
But seeing all the Firefly cast getting work, like everyone's out doing stuff. You know, Alan Tudyk's on Broadway, and Gina Torres and somebody else was on Without a Trace just recently. It's like, oh my god, it's the Firefly reunion.
Gina Torres has one show.
It's gonna last another two episodes.
Right.
What is that?
Vanished.
Vanished.
Stand Off.
But it's about four shows that have the same plot.
The actress who was Inara is turning in SV-1.
And Badger. Badger was some freaky guy in Medium, which is a horrible show, but he was really funny. And Nathan Fillion's filming another crappy horror movie because Nathan Fillion loves to be in crappy horror movies. Oh my god! And he's so good at it. Yes, his name's Bruce Campbell.
I'm happy I did it. I'm happy it's done. I can show up at a convention for the next 60 years,
oh my god,
and everyone loves me. I can get fat and lose my hair and not hold it.
He committed to anywhere ever. I did. Called Alan Tudyk in the middle of his panel at DragonCon. Oh, you're still at a panel? And so they put him on speakerphone, of course, and it became Nathan Fillion's show via speakerphone on the DragonCon panel, which was supposed to be about Summer Glau and Alan Tudyk, and they both sat there looking at the phone. For about 20 minutes while they the blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, I love you, Nathan.
They forgot the first rule. Drop the phone over the side.
Well, Well, I think they kind of had it because he wanted to go when he was filming, and then Adam Baldwin is in something because he just got called starting filming the weekend of DragCon. He had to cancel the last minute. And evidently, he's very heartbroken because he too loves to show up at conventions and people adore him. Why that is, I mean, I can't imagine. Wanting to go stand in front of people loves to have a complete undivided attention.
Actually, that's the funny thing about William Shatner is for a long time he hated conventions. Then he went to one. These people love me.
No, actually, he said, these people
love me.
I don't think anyone spoke in English, Chef.
And Patrick Stewart's always like me.
Patrick's an amazing man. Okay, wait. I'm just trying to not pass the table.
Now we're on the show that gets canceled and then does better afterwards.
Do you think that if they did do a sequel, that they would gear it to draw in a bigger showing, kind of diluting it? Because I've noticed that usually shows that do really well and are acclaimed by the critics are horrible sci-fi.
Well,
and really good sci-fi, the critics
certainly don't take the gloves off for Spicey.
No.
And I don't think he would. Because he may be a total ass at times, but he is totally, devoted to his, whatever it is, he will not compromise that, no way, no how.
He doesn't even care if the fans think it's
wrong.
He was
like,
Well,
look at the way Angel, Angel Memphis from cute spinoff to campy monster of the week to dark and brooding to, a story with a meta plot. Dun, 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 which is where I came into it, because, hey, Spike. And sadly. It was just getting good and coherent. And they went, this has been going for 7 years, and whatever.
And then everybody who canceled it got
that's what happens when you have a TV show and you give it a plot. The networks don't like that. They take it away.
We were just discussing that in publishing.
But
you make people think too much.
They don't let the TV show stay on for more than 7 years. Okay, you've got 7 years, that's it. Law and Order is an exception.
Okay, I have a Law and Order addiction. But, let's say, for example, Doctor Who. Doctor Who's been going on, almost longer than I can alive.
Doctor Who ran for 14 years. It stopped.
And then picked up again.
Years, and then the BBC went, we're idiots. We're going to start this again.
Picked it up again, then stopped, and now picked it up again. Mm-hmm. And now it's doing even better than
it was.
It was
never officially canceled. Always
the Doctor Who goes on hiatus for a couple of 2 years at a time.
We knocked a few numbers off the Doctor count, and now we're up to, 10? 11? 10.
We're at 10 Doctor.
Yes.
Yes. No, we don't have
it. Oh, my God.
We
have a cast to be at the show that went off 20 years later and stuff, or came back on Star Trek, but at least they had enough episodes to go for
I know. 13.
Firefly has
13.
You can't
go
for
infinite
repeats around the world.
Yes, you can. Have you watched Sci-Fi every month, Friday, they do the entire show, and I just sit there.
There's not enough syndication.
Have you ever watched The Prisoner?
That's a good point.
Yes,
that's
more than 13 episodes. Wonderful.
Is it?
Like,
not
15,
a whole lot.
I think. BBC seasons are short.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, yeah, there's then maybe there's 26. I think there's, two seasons.
Somebody mentioned that they're making a Prisoner movie.
Yes.
I heard that, and I decided that I didn't believe it, so I kept moving on.
But the BBC is also...
Okay, where's my Red Dwarf movie? I've been waiting for
the BBC has also made a tradition of making a story and telling a story and being done and just ending it. Mm-hmm. The BBC version of The Office, it's 13 episodes, if you include the Christmas special, start to finish, it's a story. And there is a complete story there. And it's done. That's it. There doesn't need to be anymore. Right. When they brought it over to the U.S., they changed it.
Oh, God.
But it's different, but they kept generally the spirit of it. They changed the character for American audiences, thank God, because it wasn't going to survive if they kept it the same. But the BBC isn't held by the same constraints of 22 episodes a season and having to satisfy all the markets.
Right, the market, the commercialism, the tie-ins, the media stuff. People are afraid. For God's sake, I love CSI. Like, there's no tomorrow. But please, how many people die every week in Las Vegas in some crazy manner that... Now, obviously, I cry if they cancel because it's my favorite show. But really, how long has it been on now? And the believability point is going to... Okay. Yeah. Oh, look, somebody's dead.
Since when do crime scene investigators interview?
I know.
Witnesses,
we had we had this panel on another panel. Like, but you never do that. But I mean, it's like we can't cancel it. There would be this huge uproar. There would be riots in the streets if they canceled CSI. Even though I love it. I'd be rioting too. Except the fact there's no really cohesive plot. They just added this whole thing. Now I have not seen it for the past 2 weeks. I missed the cliffhanger. Somebody kidnapped Catherine's daughter, and oh my god, I'm totally freaked out. I'm here now. Over, so it's okay, but it's like they can't cancel it because there would be uproar and outcry, and so you know, plot be damned, characters be damned. We just got to keep this going because people are watching it, and the rates are still high, which some of that's my fault. But versus, like you said, with the BBC and people who are like, okay, this is the show, this is how it starts, this is the middle, this is how it ends, and there you go, enjoy. Mm-hmm. Instead of let's keep dragging this and beating this dead horse until.
Because there's no
structure thing. So the British, they like what we're saying is that they want to have a season or a series be a season, and then they'll tell a different story later on.
Yeah, absolutely.
They don't try and keep it going the same.
Right.
They
have no problem revisiting
the same episode over and over again.
I mean, if the time periods did Blackadder go through.
Oh my God! I love that. Well, that was kind of the point of the show.
Well, the difference is that they don't have to pad out episodes. Yeah. They don't have to have 22 episodes. Mm-hmm. Six episodes can be a series or a season, you know, whatever you want to call it. And they're fine with that. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Nobody's going to have a fit. That's good.
But then again, there's like, you know, I mean, sir.
Well, there's some of them that do, but you have some serialized dramas like Spooks, which over here is MI5, mm-hmm. which, you know, I watched 24, and that was good. MI5 within two episodes does more than a whole season of 24.
Isn't MI5 more than just one day?
Yeah,
the whole season of 24 is one day.
Yeah,
as much as I love Keep Struggling. I have a hard time believing that every single hour, every single day, oh my God, for 22 hours, it's like this. And nobody ever sleeps, eats, or uses the bathroom.
It's called adrenaline poisoning.
Yeah.
For, what, six seasons now? Oh my God, he'd be dead by now.
Yeah, but I watched the first season of 24 with really great
content. From one day straight to the next day.
Yes, and one of the seasons, like, and now it's tomorrow. Wait, no, you have to sleep. And tea.
First
Come
season,
on.
Like 24 on FX and 24 hours straight.
Yeah.
Oh,
I didn't go to the bathroom too often. I fell asleep once for a couple hours.
Well, yeah.
That would be awesome. That would be like something you do at a con or something you do at a party. Like, let's watch all
the
24 in 24 hours
yeah.
to see how. But it's just kind of like, you know, when you get that week between, you know, episodes, it's like, no. But yeah.
Does anybody have a schedule on?
I have
just wondering if somebody else is supposed to be coming in here and they're next to the doors.
We have
still
time, yeah.
Some time.
Plenty of time.
Yeah, but they're not nearly as important as
oh.
All
right.
Adult gaming.
Adult gaming.
That's when they sell the radio.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Hey, there's a lot of crossover there.
Well, there's a Serenity game. That's an adult game.
Which is anyone playing the Serenity
which,
game?
Which is filled up because they only have
eight players. In the back, I know you are. So, are we having fun with Serenity game?
Is anybody playing in the St. Louis area? Because I'd be interested in sitting out.
No, I'm playing in Nashville.
I know plenty of people who own the book and own the game, but the only Firefly Serenity S game I know I've ever run, I ran using Traveler.
Wow. Hey, if you're interested in playing in the St. Louis area.
Hey, St. Louis, man, they're
from the podcast
come,
angle,
come to that game,
is anybody
to that
listening
Saturday,
to any of
next,
the Serenity-based podcasts? Serenity Firefly podcasts?
I'll bring my books.
Oh my God!
Yeah, I'm behind on the podcast.
It's going to be the last Saturday
one?
Of the month.
There's a number of them. Oh, it's not. They're not difficult to find.
Just go to
the
webpage.
Right now, we sort of dissolved into crap.
Go to the webpage.
The single is the biggest. Well, it was. It was the first.
I'm
going to interview. I believe it was the first. And it was. I've heard something recently that. There, when you refer to someone as a geek, if you think you're a geek, you're probably not as big of a geek as you think you are. And if you don't think you're that big of a geek, you probably are. It's there's like this cross thing. If you don't think you're that much of a geek, you're probably much more. I thought I was a geek until I listened to The Signal.
Really?
These guys put together a show, and I can't remember the schedule they were on, but it was just an incredible schedule. It was an hour-long show, and they had everything in there from analysis of the names of the characters, and like, really? They took languages that they could have developed the names out of, and how it fit into the character types, to how to speak Chinese. There was literally a how to speak Chinese portion of every podcast where they broke down the Chinese sayings and told you exactly what the insult was in Chinese.
That's in the back of the Serenity Core book.
I have the Chinese pioneer.
Yes.
Yeah, the Chinese one, they give you a little thing, and like you go to the website and it shows the characters, it shows it in whatever the Chinese version of Romanji is, and then you click the little thing and it tells you how to say it. And I can't remember how to say it, but my favorite one is the you son of a whore and a drooling monkey. That's my favorite insult. If I can remember how to say that in Chinese, I'd be a lot better off.
There's also one that's like something like exploding diarrhea of nothing or something.
Yes,
like
that is the Serenity Core book, and my other favorite one was like Holy Mother of Mercy and all her wacky nephews.
Yeah.
That was like my favorite.
Is that any weirder though than the Klingon Language Institute?
No. Not at all. Not at all.
Mandarin is really spoken in parts of the world. So
it's, yeah.
Well, that's what we
got. A friend of ours is the Hamlet in the original Klingon school. And he was so thrilled.
Well, they were saying the little blurb on the video. They talk about, like, Josh talks about how they came to that conclusion. Like, well, America and China mushed together, and everything's either in English, bad, broken grammatical English, as it becomes, and Chinese, which is really good grammar Chinese. Which is funny, because the Chinese grammar is good, but the English grammar, atrocious. It's also the old
West. It's all spoken by people who
can't read.
Actors who don't know how to pronounce it right, so it sounds broken.
Well, I mean, the whole point of it is just like, oh, you know, Kaylee. I love her some Kaylee, but, you know, she's kind of like an idiot savant. I mean, she's brilliant, yet sometimes I have to listen to things she says a couple of times. Like, what are you talking about, Kaylee? But, not that, I mean, I dress up as Kaylee and do a great Kaylee impression, so don't, you know, when I was on my back down there? Yeah. Which is probably my favorite part of the entire show. Yeah. I saw the problem when I was laying on my back just then. I should put her clothes on. You know, I'm like, that's so Joss. And it was so awesome that she's such the innocent character, and you go on this whole thing, oh, the sweet innocent. She's got like the mind of, like, you know, this pure little innocent mind, and like then you see her beginning out of the ship that she got out of the ship. She was screwing the sexy but dumb as a post other mechanic who was a pride mechanic. And
sexy being relative.
Sexy being relative. I mean, he was kind of like, he had that sort of like Bobbio thing going for him.
Well, he's short and skinny.
Well, yeah. But he had the longish blonde hair and the chiseled jaw, and they're like, hi, so hot. You're like, okay, you can see that he'd be sexy and gigantic, air quotes. For
I personally would like to see how many times he bounced and now kick him off the ship.
Well, okay. I will tell you to sort of one thing that the moment I knew this was the most awesome show ever, there were two moments. First of all, was, I can't remember what episode this happened to, but the one we were, I remember the most was when, at the end of that Niska thing, when he's like, I'm going to follow you to your grave, and blah, 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 and he boots him into the intake valve.
It wasn't just the booting, it was mouth.
And I
what about his knees? Now, this is
now, this is yeah, that was a change. I mean, the other one, when there's a big standoff, which is in the pilot, I believe, there's a big standoff, and Malcolm Watson shoots the guy in the head and keeps going. And I'm like, oh my god, that's all the things you wish the people on the shows you normally watch would do. Uh-huh. Just kick him out of the intake valve. Who cares that Niska is going to be breathing now? Cut off your ear later.
The same vein is when Mal gets captured by Niska. And Zoe's, no, this is something he has to do on his own.
No! So what was your like moment of truth when this is the best damn show ever? Because that was it for me. I'm like, oh my god, that's it.
Those were pretty awesome.
I still am to this awesome, day, I cannot figure out what the networks are thinking of it by saying, this kick-ass pilot isn't good enough. Like,
they never play pilot. They hardly ever show up.
Who saw the ads before the show started where they kept talking about a girl in a box?
Yeah.
And you never saw that until they finally aired the pilot after it was canceled. Mm-hmm.
Well, there was no setup for the Doctor and his backstory at that point. I did not like the show when it first came out.
The sci-fi show by showing it wrong. Mm-hmm. And let's keep moving it around just to keep people get interested.
Yeah.
And let's have football.
Right.
And let's
that drove me insane.
Not only let's cancel it, but let's cancel it and not tell anybody. Yeah. Tell them, next week on, and, you know, I looked for it. Mm-hmm. I tuned in Friday night, and it wasn't there.
I'm just sitting there waiting for the next episode going, why the hell are they showing me this?
Yeah.
It sucks. Did they move it again?
We actually bought a TV to put in the costume trailer at the Renaissance Fair.
And the United States, and St. Louis didn't have it, whatever. They were showing, you know, bouncing Buffy all over the place because there was a European meeting at the Union Station. Mm-hmm. One time they were showing Buffy opposite Firefly in St. Louis. So you had the choice. You didn't have to Buffy.
That's terrible.
But, I was going to say, the pacing of the show is different.
In the engineer show, it's going to be on late
The pacing of the show is different because people took their time speaking. And you know, whatever it was like the Grateful Dead song, where they just took their own pace as they would want to say, and they didn't feel like they had to follow anybody else's like pacing patterns. There was a different pace than any other show. It was slow and deliberate, and they spoke and stuff, and you didn't feel like they were rushing just to do one scene after another.
And then Fox replaced it with that show where the cops drive race cars all over the place.
That one
got canceled after what, four shows?
It was created with great longing. Someone longing to see a swan.
And then Fox goes, why did all these people send this letter? Oh.
This from Satan. One of my favorite, other favorite lines. Who had a great longing to see a swan?
I hate the Fox.
Yeah, well, if you notice that every other Family Guy in Simpsons episode bashes Fox repeatedly, Family Guy got put back on, so.
But they're the ones who put things up like that on anymore. I mean, if you look at major networks, most of them haven't touched that by, aside from the all the water shows last year.
Which was brilliant. Let's have three shows on every major network that are not exactly the same, but awfully damn close.
Stuff in the water, there were aliens, and there was a cute little boy and a dog. Which I never watched any of them, so I don't know. I'm a Discovery Channel junkie. The only time I come back down into the single digit numbers is for things like Firefly.
Well, Heroes is on NBC now, and is actually getting the support of the network.
Is it?
Yep.
They went, let's show this to pre-screeners.
Yeah.
And the pre-screeners went, give us more now.
Yeah.
But they rebroadcast
the pilot episode. They showed us the pilot.
Oh my God! They showed the pilot episode before the rest of the series.
They showed it with limited interruption. They only had two actual commercials during the show.
Dang.
Then they showed it the next day again, and then Sci-Fi ran that.
Yeah, Sci-Fi is showing it.
And Sci-Fi is going to be showing it on as part of their regular Sci-Fi Friday
schedule. Yeah, sure. It's on the regular schedule a week after NBC. And when Sci-Fi is involved in something, Sci-Fi kind of goes. We like it. We're going to keep going. Look at SG-1.
Yeah.
Which, I love SG-1. It's ending the season, but they're getting Atlantis. That went for 10 years.
It's been 10 years.
It was on a different network. It completely changed.
No, not that old. No.
Started off completely syndicated.
Well, it started off on
Showtime. Around the 100th episode of Showtime. The Showtime's kind of going, you know, we can't really keep going.
Well, there was a little more to it than that because the creators also didn't want Showtime kind of forced on them, we are Showtime, we can show things, boobs. We want boobs.
And Richard Anderson is actually one of the producers, and they kind of looked for
it. And they
said,
let's find
some place to go.
Yeah,
I wish that FX would get a hold of one of these things. So what FX is doing, they say it's like with Rescue Me. I mean, that's very daring, very cutting edge, and a lot of people are not liking it, but they're showing the sex, they're showing the violence, they're showing swearing. I don't know how they're doing it.
Actually, this is not broadcast. It can now be broadcast free.
Right.
But, you know, I noticed that the secondary
you know, basic cable broadcast channels are doing more than networks. They're going, let's try this show. And then you have shows everyone raves about. And I'm sitting here going, that sounds like a great show. What channel is it on? FX? What channel is FX?
That's like me in Deadwood. I'm like, I can't touch it. I don't have HBO. And all these great shows are on HBO now. I'm like,
I remember watching SG-1 from the pilot.
Yeah.
And SG-1, I'm here. I want to see that because the movie wasn't great, but I liked it.
Then they show it during the pilot,
and I'm going,
I'm reversing.
Why didn't they show that? That in the theater.
So you like the movie better?
I really enjoyed the movie. I did not like the series when it started on Showtime. I didn't care for the way they changed the characters. Which I know a lot of people are the other way. I don't want to get into an argument about it. I know I'm in the minority on that. But for me, that was the way it was.
He was the only person who came out of the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie. His comment when he was walking in was, if somebody has the balls to make a movie and name it Buffy the Vampire Slayer, they have earned my money.
Thanks on a plane!
Which is why I had a hard time getting to the Buffy show because it took itself somewhat seriously.
The TV series comes on, I'm here going, this is
Buffy!
Be
Pike's got a name, Pike the Fish! I mean, I was waiting for that, and I was like, get Sarah Michelle Gellar, kind of like in her brooding, I want to be a Valley Girl, but I'm brooding thing. And I took a long, long time for me to get into Buffy, and I never really got that into it. But I don't know, the movie to the show, I was like, what? These could not possibly be the same thing. I thought someone was ripping off the movie with the show. Like, no, it's all Joss Whedon. I'm like,
well, the worst thing about the show is they killed Paul Reubens off the movie.
Yeah. Well, he still has, on record, the world's longest death scene in the history of cinema.
Yes.
Because although
he wasn't dead at the end of the movie. He was still going,
and it goes on for like an hour and a half or something like that. Go look at the background the entire time. They kept coming back to it. But yes, but no, I mean, I was amazed that Serenity, the Firefly, made it intact. Well, okay, somewhat, it did make it to the end of the movie intact with the cast and everything, but it made it into the movie. It was like a really long episode, but with more.
But for the comic series that's between the series and movie,
I read a post of it.
That explains some of the things that you're going, why isn't Inara on the ship right now?
Right, well, we know she's going to leave.
And where is Shepherd Book?
And where is Shepherd Book? All
and
that
where
is
the blue hand guy go?
And you can get this to the train.
One thing that can hurt some genre of films and television shows is knowing what is considered canon. And that is something that stumped a lot of people, because a lot of times prequel comics are just marketing. Right. It's just extra money from the hardcores. Doesn't mean anything. Unfortunately, and what was not well marketed was the fact that this is meaningful, this does tell a part of the story that you might want to check out.
I don't want to read that before you get to... Well, I mean, that
was supposed to be an enemy. Sharon and Arbor is wonderful.
Oh, fantastic. And then who else did that? Matrix did that with the video game. You kind of find out what's happening to, like, Niobe and the other ship while they're off kicking ass. Yeah, right. You play the video game and you find out. And then Lucas did it with the Clone Wars cartoon. The cartoon ends in the dogfight that the last movie starts with.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's getting to, which I think is fantastic, mixing the medias like that.
Came
because,
out of Kaczynski, did they have the
yeah, it gives you so much more depth and breadth with, you know, attracting fandom. I mean, people are in the comic book store, maybe, I don't know, any comic book geek that's never seen Firefly. Like, but just for hypothetical saying, someone, a comic book geek, has never heard of Firefly, and they go, wow, these comics look awesome. Hey, it's a movie.
I know a lot of people who are in sci-fi, fantasy, television movies that you mentioned Serenity and they're like,
what?
Wasn't that something about the thing got canceled?
why
do I want to watch that?
I blinked.
The funny thing is with all this, I wear this shirt, my Serenity t-shirt. I have not worn this on one occasion without coming to a convention where there's going to be people seeing the movie. And I walked in the subway and had this teenage girl looking at this, that movie was great! I'm going, have you seen the series? There's a series?
Yeah.
Yes! Go to Blockbuster. She's writing down the name.
Oh, that's so awesome.
And just looking at the clock and looking at Blockbuster.
I actually had a shirt that says Serenity in that in the papyrus font with the Journey characters. That is a yoga shirt from City Light. It has nothing to do with the series or the show or Joss Whedon. And it was like a stupid amount of money, but I worked at the department store. I bought it, so I got a big discount. But normally I would not spend $40 on a yoga shirt. But it cracked me up because I'm walking through Nordstrom's. Wait a minute. I went and asked them, do you know what this is? They're like, yes, it's a yoga shirt. No, the show! They're like, they're all very mainstream, you know, retail employees, but they're like, what are you talking about? And I'm thinking, man, too bad you can't copyright papyrus, because Joss Whedon would be making a mint off of that. Because it's exactly what you see on shirts, main trademark for the show and for the movie. Yet it had nothing to do with it. So that used to be my convention shirt before I got a real one. Which is in the room right now, and I'll wear it later, but...
it's about that time.
So clothing slash for the people in the middle, since those two on the ends talk a lot.
Clothing
thoughts, said I.
It's getting to be about that time.
Yes. Like. I had a Blue Sun t-shirt that I wore to my work. We're at a doctor's answering service, and we got like 50 women and 50 guys there. And one of the ladies asked me, what is that? I said, well, that's from a show that I like, Fireflies. Oh, I think I saw that movie Serenity, but you said a series, Firefly? I said, yes. Oh, was it any good? I have the DVDs, and I loaned them to her. And then she was telling one of the other ladies that were, oh, you've got to watch this. And so she loaned the DVDs.
I corrupted my own.
So, yeah, there's a fan club at my work from that, and making because I wore the shirt.
You have a loaner copy and then the copy that you have.
Yep.
It's to the point I put it in my set. Burning myself a copy that I feel safe lending to people.
Uh-huh. Right, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Getting it back, but having my first copy
just
in case.
Right.
They don't come back.
Did you have any other thoughts, Mike?
No, it's about time to move on to the panel, I think.
Yeah.
Which is so sad on this podcast. We'll never see how well you were dressed and how much of a Nathan Fillion smile that you have. Which is kind of sad.
If anybody can take a picture of him, though, yes. And if you don't mind, I can post it on the I can post it as part of the show.
I have the whole. Yeah, he's trying to throw a nice smile now.
One last thing. I want to throw out one last thing. Some people have asked why the name change.
Hide it though.
Why the what?
Why name change?
Well, take he really wanted off. To name it. I heard they really wanted to name it Serenity, but
Firefly.
There you go.
Yeah, there's
Firefly Universal.
Oh, Serenity. I heard they really wanted to name the show Serenity, but people wouldn't get it because it was some crazy yoga thing or something about adult underpants. So he decided not to name it Serenity. The urban legends about.
Well, there you have it. That was my first ever experience as a panelist at a con. Great time doing it. Like I said, I was on a few other panels last weekend, one of which was a panel on collecting, which ended up during the last half just happened to turn it into a panel about podcasting when someone asked exactly what a podcast was. And had one last panel. I would bet it was probably one of the last two or three panels of the whole weekend. It was called the Obligatory Star Wars Panel, and you can just guess what that was about. I did not record that one. It was primarily a discussion of con costuming and the extended universe in the games, and since we've already covered Star Wars backwards and forwards in our first episode, I really didn't think we would need to bring that one back. But, you know, if that's what you guys want to hear, we can always bring Star Wars back to the table. Anyway, I want to just say again what a great time I had this weekend working with the great guys at Fear the Boot and with Ryu over at Bad Buddhist Radio. He's the Bad Buddha, and he puts on a great show. If you're at all interested or even mildly curious about what Buddhism is about, I recommend checking this out. I admit I was ignorant to the Buddhist philosophy and wanted to listen to one of his shows just to see the kind of person that I would be podcasting with and being on a panel with, and I'm hooked on his show. He's got a great show to listen to. Like I said before, we will have a co-host next week if all goes well, and we'll be back to our regularly scheduled shenanigans here. at Fanboy Smackdown. If you'll notice, I wanted to point out one other thing. I slipped it in last week on some of the downloads, and you should be seeing it on this one. We have an official logo. Darren finally came through for us, and we've got our Fanboy Smackdown logo that's going to be going out on all of our podcasts, and it's already listed up at iTunes. As I get around to it, I'm going to be posting it up with all the site information at Podcast Pickle and Podcast Alley and all those good places. So as you see it, make note of it, and it should be the same going out everywhere. I also wanted to thank a whole bunch, Stu, for the stuff that he's done. I've got one more thing that we've yet to unveil that we are just really, really pleased with that Stu did. It's awesome. And we will be putting that out here shortly. But I wanted to make it something special because we were really pleased with how it turned out, Stu. So the Star Wars themed banner that is coming, I wanted to let you know we've got it, and we're just holding off for the right time to display it because like I said, we really, really like this one. But like I said, we have our official banner, and it is the representative logo of the Fanboy Smackdown. It went out on a bunch of business cards this weekend and numerous flyers that were passed out at the convention. So hopefully those are all over the place. I also wanted to make mention, if anyone is hearing us after attending ArcCon, hello, welcome to the show. Feel free to get in contact with me. We've got forums over at powerupgamers.com. We've got the comment section on the website, fanboysmackdown.com. You can send us an email, fanboysmackdown@gmail.com. There's always the voicemail line, and we will, I believe we have at least one voicemail for next week, and maybe more if you guys get some in. The voicemail is, of course, 206-339-FBSD. That's 206-339-3273. You can also reach us on Skype by looking for the name Fanboy Smackdown. And the other Tony is still playing Yahoo Chess in and amongst his busy schedule. He's not too busy to play Yahoo Chess, even though he can't come here and podcast with us. So when you get a chance, if you see him out there on Yahoo Chess, give him a good beating and tell him to get back to recording so we can have him join the show again. Anyway, we'll be back next week, and in the meantime, go watch some good flicks. See you next week.